You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. We want to thank you all for tuning in for another episode of Ask the Black Doctor. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. You know how we do. Every single week we sit down and recap how our weeks have been and how we're all dealing with this pandemic and how the pandemic's dealing with us. How you doing this week, Doc?
Man, I am doing well. It's Wednesday. It's good to be back. It's good to be recording with you.
Yeah.
It's just, we got some sun earlier this week. Made me happy. We need more sun in May, man. We need more sun.
Yeah, we usually get more sun in May, you know?
Yeah,
we usually also don't have hail in April, so.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. We were talking, a friend of mine was talking about how their nieces and nephews are wearing hoodies. They're still on the East Coast wearing hoodies in like 75 and 80 degree weather, and they're just not sweating. And I told them, I said, it's a running joke with some of us over here where we're, I said, I think what we're watching is our kids are evolving to survive climate change. I said, we're actually watching evolution take place with, you know, they'll be able to deal with extreme temperatures unlike their parents.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, other than that, I've been good. Been really good. Been blessed. You know, haven't come down with anything. But I will tell you this. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 members of our staff, COVID.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, yeah. This variant of... this sub-variant of Omicron is causing a lot of havoc. I have a friend of mine who just came down with yet another bout of COVID. I mean, he had COVID, not even 3 months ago. And he's a healthy guy. I mean, he's one of the healthiest people I know.
Right.
Runs, exercises, you know, eats well and not taking any medications yet. This is the second bout of COVID within 3 months.
Wow. So is this still the stealth variant, or this is?
Oh, it's then there are new sub variants of the stealth variant.
You know, this should come as no surprise. We've definitely been talking about this for a while.
We're gonna continuously
have variants. So none of this should be a surprise at all. It's just, wow, like it's really here. Like it's here to stay.
It's here to stay, and we gotta act it, right?
Yeah. So I got my fingers crossed. I told them everyone stay home. I will say this though, excuse me. It does seem, and this is anecdotal just from the people that I'm encountering, that this particular variant is hitting people though. Like they're coming down with symptoms reminiscent of what I saw like early on in the pandemic. Like people are like, I need to lay down. I need to spend some time in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So so the studies haven't clearly defined what the symptoms of this, what the presentation is really like.
Okay.
So it varies from person to person. There's some people who are coming down with it and, you know, getting really sick, especially those that have not been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people who are doing just fine, having mild symptoms, having, you know, being able to, you know, isolate, but, you know, stay at home, obviously watch Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all that.
Right. I need to check my vaccine card and see if it's time to get boosted again. So
I think that's what we need to be reminding people that, hey, if you're due for your booster, go out there and get your booster.
Right.
I was happy to see that they gave an EUA for kids 5 to 11 that they can now get their boosters. And so my 11-year-old was asking me, Dad, am I due for a booster? Do I need a booster? I'm like, well, look at your vaccine card and tell me if you need a booster.
Right. So yeah. What is it? Is it 7 months out or is it 9 months out?
Well, so right now they're saying for kids, at least the EUA that was just announced a few days ago, it's 5 months out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So every 5 months. And what is it for adults?
It's about the same. It's,
okay.
It's, I would say if you have pre-existing conditions, right, then you should be getting it on schedule every time so that you don't end up really sick with it.
Okay. So then it's time for me to get another booster. Yeah. I know it's been at least 5 months or pretty close. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think I'm with you there. I need to get my booster as well.
Man. All right. Well, I hope you guys are listening, because I know some of you have not gotten the booster shot within the last 5 months. So please, hop on that. Let's make sure we're all staying safe. So this week we're talking about COVID and cardiovascular health.
That's
right. Could you break down for our listeners what is the cardiovascular system?
So the cardiovascular system, at the core of it, right, is the heart, right? And then you have, that's the cardio part. And then vascular, meaning the vasculature that's in our bodies, meaning our veins, our arteries, our arterioles, our venules. But most people just know veins and arteries, right? So, and that's what comprises the cardiovascular system. And it's critical in that it supplies blood to the rest of the body and the heart itself, right? And how do we get nutrients to the rest of the body from the food we eat that, gets broken down and gets absorbed into the bloodstream? And this is how it's circulated in the body. But not only that, it's also important for carrying oxygen around the body and carrying and taking carbon dioxide out to the lungs so that we can breathe it out. And also taking out, kind of like our garbage disposal waste system, right? Taking it out to the organs that clean it out and we get rid of it. You think of your liver and you think of your kidneys, the way they get those things, the way they get the waste out of our system is through the blood, through the blood vessels.
Okay. And of course, this also is integral to how our body responds to infection as far as white blood cells being able to move throughout.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the really interesting thing is there are some people who die of, blood vessels not working really well. Infections can cause that. That's what we call sepsis or septicemia. And so it's essentially cardiovascular collapse, meaning your vessels are not working well enough to support the energy requirements, the oxygen requirements of the entire system.
Mm. So are there any specific risks that COVID-19 poses to the cardiovascular system? I mean, any risks that are like unique to COVID-19, especially with the wide myriad of symptoms?
Oh, man, yeah. So this is a hot topic, right? Because there are a lot of studies that have been coming out showing that when people who get COVID end up with numerous cardiovascular issues, right? Meaning the vascular collapse that we talked about earlier, presenting in the form of maybe sepsis, or just pure, your vessels are not working well. Another thing that we've heard a lot about, which is at least when it comes to the vaccines, which is not entirely, let me just say what it is, right? It's myocarditis or perimyocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle. People have come to know about it, because of the vaccines. It's a very, very rare side effect of the vaccines. But in all of this, people who get COVID-19 are at much, much, much higher risk of getting this pericarditis or myocarditis due to an infection with COVID-19. So you're better off, like we talked about in the past, better off getting vaccinated so as to prevent this this condition, pericarditis, myocarditis, perimyocarditis, just different forms of it that have been described in literature. We also talked a little bit about the vascular collapse, which is usually due to, in medicine, what is known as the cytokine storm. It simply causes your vessels not to work, not to be as compliant as they should be, not to be able to carry blood around the body like it should.
So I think myocarditis sounds really familiar. It sounds like something that the vaccine resistant and vaccine deniers were using early on, right? Saying this is one of the reasons I should not get vaccinated because of myocarditis.
Yeah, so it came up numerous times. I think I remember this is one of the things that Seth Rogen and Green Bay Packers quarterback.
Joe Rogan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe Rogan. Sorry. and the Green Bay quarterback talked about. But what they neglected to talk about is that you have a 5 to 6 times more likelihood of developing myocarditis from COVID-19 than from the vaccine. So you're increasing your chances of getting this myocarditis,
right?
If you're not vaccinated and you end up getting COVID. This condition has been described very well, actually, in athletes, because we monitor athletes very quite a lot. I mean, they get all these scans, these ultrasounds, and it's been well documented, especially with the NCAA. There was a really good NCAA study that looked at this early on in the pandemic. And we found that it was even young folks, I mean, I'm talking 19, 20 year olds coming down with this due to the virus.
Man. So, I mean, once you are infected with COVID-19 and your cardiovascular, what are the prolonged effects? Now, we had a discussion about long COVID last week and some of the weeks preceding that. What are some of the prolonged effects that can happen?
Yeah, so typically, so the myocarditis is typically short-lived, right? Anywhere from 3 to 15 days. It can persist, though, in some folks. In rare cases, it can persist. There have been case reports of this described in literature. Because the heart is strained so much, that's why some people experience fatigue. That's why some people experience this fogginess. We don't really understand why it's happening. We just know it's happening, and we're seeing more and more people come down with it. Our guests last week detailed their studies at Oregon Health Sciences University, OHSU, talking about long COVID and all this prolonged fogginess, prolonged weakness and inability to mount a response when you exercise, and which causes some people not to be able to be active. Now, I think it would really suck if you got COVID-19, right, and were not vaccinated and you end up with this. So it's get vaccinated, folks. Get vaccinated.
And one of the side effects is blood clots, if I'm correct.
Yes. And yeah, so
talk about the harmfulness of that.
Oh, man. You know, we have seen we saw a lot of people come down with what in medicine we refer to as venous thromboembolism. It's just blood clots that are occurring in the veins. We typically see this in the extremities, usually in the calves, but we saw this, there have been case reports of upper extremity blood clots. And the major problem of these, right, is if they break off and they go to the wrong, to a critical organ that doesn't have the reserve to be able to continue to function with limited blood supply. So if it goes to the lungs and it blocks off vessels in the lungs, it can lead to a pulmonary embolism. That's just a blood clot that traveled from somewhere in the body to the lungs. And this can be lethal, right? We saw Serena Williams, after she gave birth, come down with a blood clot in her calf, and that ended up going to her lungs, and she got a pulmonary embolism from that blood clot. It's a similar process. It's actually an identical process that happens, but it's because of COVID-19, you're at a much higher risk of getting these deep vein thrombosis, these blood clots in your deep veins. If it ends up going to the heart, to your brain, right? That's, we call that a stroke. And that's actually really bad as well, right?
Yeah. So someone who may have a pre-existing condition, myself, I'll put it out there. I definitely had congestive heart failure very early. I want to say back in 2017. What are the risks that someone with, you know, a congenital heart condition like myself would face dealing with COVID-19? I feel like I've been relatively lucky up until this point with nothing, no severe side effects. But what are some of the risks?
Yeah, so you bring up some very interesting points, and thank you for putting yourself out there and saying what it is, because we don't talk about our shortcomings in terms of our pre-existing conditions, because we look at it as a weakness or anything, something like that. But it's not a weakness, right? It's real. And as we all get older, we'll get some of these pre-existing conditions.
Exactly.
So the main thing is, as much as you can do all the COVID protective behaviors, we know that these variants are becoming more and more transmissible. They're causing a whole lot more problems than we would like. And so we have to be mindful of that. And we have to make sure that we're doing all the mitigation factors. We're participating in, we're actively participating in our healthcare in ways that ensure that we don't get the virus. And if we were to get the virus, we're vaccinated, and as a result, we don't end up with really serious consequences from getting infected. So the main thing is, hey, if you have a pre-existing condition, you should be first in line to get vaccinated. You should be first in line to get boosted, so that you don't end up with a major side effect or major sequela from getting COVID-19.
And that's a good reminder, because as again, a lot of us, whether we are or aren't diagnosed, that's one issue within itself. If we haven't been properly diagnosed, there's another issue of, once you are diagnosed, there is a level of denial that a lot of us go through with new diagnosis, and even with older diagnosis, when we maybe haven't stuck to whatever regimen we're supposed to, and we're still here. So we feel like, I don't need my medication anymore because I'm fine. No, that's not how that works.
Nah.
In a situation like this, where we're facing a virus that we don't know a lot about, we're still learning. I can only imagine how frustrating it could be, from your side of the equation, where you guys are facing not necessarily brand new symptoms, but the way they're presenting and the way they're being, and the way it's, this particular virus is attacking us is new, and it's almost like rolling the dice. You just don't know what's going to come out. You just don't know. So that being the case, yes. Using our current mitigating factors, wearing masks, making sure you're vaccinated, all of those things, nothing has changed in that regard. But we should take a little bit more caution and pause for those of us with pre-existing conditions. Because I can definitely say, it's very easy for me to take for granted that I haven't gotten extremely sick at all during the pandemic.
So you bring up something that's very important, and I was glad to see that Multnomah County, for instance, reinstituted. Well, it's not a mask mandate, but they are strongly recommending masks, right? Because the case counts are going up, the number of people in the hospital is going up, and so we have to go back to doing the things that we know work very well. I'm also happy to see that schools are reinstituting mandatory masking at school. And that's in recognition of the fact that kids are coming down with COVID-19.
But it just makes sense, right? It just makes sense. As the numbers go up, we have to respond and react to it. We can't just pretend like this was a one-time thing or a two-time thing. As you, just when it rains, you pull out the umbrella. That's it. You don't wear your white sneakers outside when it's raining. Like there's different precautions you take.
I love those analogies, right? I'm not wearing my nice kicks when it's
Nah,
so muddy outside.
we're not doing it. We're absolutely not doing it. So it's pretty much the exact same thing.
And since we're in Oregon, right? It rains a lot. We go out, wearing our rain jackets, we got our umbrellas, making sure that we don't end up wet, soaked wet.
And that's it's so funny. Like, yes, being in Portland, being in Oregon, we have access. I know we're a little off topic here, but we have access to some very nice kicks out here. I remember when I used to travel from the East Coast out here, I would hit the employee stores. Man, you get super fresh.
And it doesn't make any sense to wear them outside in
No, absolutely
the
not.
mud,
Absolutely not. So yeah, we got a little bit off track there, but the message is still the same. Please take every precaution you would with any other aspect of your life when it comes to your health, when it comes to this virus that we're still learning so much about, so much about. Are you hearing like any emerging news, any breakthroughs, anything of hope possibly as far as research? I know I'm hearing about different pills they're coming up with. I think some of them are being inappropriately categorized by the media as cures, you know what I'm saying? But is there anything else on the horizon that you heard?
So the main thing is that the oral anti-COVID medications are now widely available. I actually had a few patients this week that I prescribed those to. So make sure ask your primary care doctor or whoever you're seeing, the doctor that your provider that you're seeing, and if you test positive for COVID-19 and you are high risk and your symptoms are progressing, ask them for a prescription for the oral medications. And the best part is there are resources available to pharmacies to deliver those medications to you, such that you don't even have to leave your house. Actually, you shouldn't leave your house, right? Because you're supposed to be isolating. So they can drop these off to you so that so that you're not out and about and potentially infecting other folks.
And are you familiar with the prescription and how that works? Is this something where you're taking the entire, 7 day or 10 day stretch, or do you stop taking it once you start feeling better?
Oh, no. So you're supposed to, that's a very good question. You're supposed to take the entire course. So even if you feel better after 2 days, you have to finish the entire course. It's the same with any antibiotic, right? Take your medications as they're prescribed. Actually, not just any antibiotic, any antiviral, antibiotic, or any other medication. Take it as it's prescribed. because that's you, that way you'll get the best benefit from it. Even if you feel better after 2-3 days, mm-hmm. continue taking it like you're supposed to.
Excellent. Well,
you know, we hit a very sad milestone earlier this week, right? We hit 1 million deaths in the U.S. due to COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot of people who lost, you know, their child, you know, yeah. that lost, you know, the, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, you know, mm-hmm. mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. It's, you know, a friend. It's a lot. That's, it's really sad. Yeah. And what we now know is that 1/3 of those people who died because, in part, because they were not vaccinated mm-hmm. When vaccines were widely available.
Yeah.
That to me is even, that's that much more sad. And I wish we could tell a different story. Yeah. I wish we could I wish people could go out there and recognize the fact that there are people who've lost their lives unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 300,000 people
yeah.
who died, who didn't have to die.
Unnecessarily, yeah.
So let's protect each other, and let's protect ourselves and protect each other.
Yes, absolutely. Let's make sure that we slow this count, you know?
Yeah.
We slow that count and make the next milestone not happen. Next huge yeah. milestone happen as slowly as possible. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. This is Ask the Black Doctor. You know how we do. We will catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.